10 minutes, and I want to speak to you and start where we're going to start in terms of the Word of God. And we're going to speak about calling. This week was a real privilege. Di, for exposing you, but Di sent me a scripture and said, reading in the scripture, can we chat about the scripture? And at the same time, I'd been praying and saying, God, on the thing of calling, we could start anywhere in the Bible. There's just 100 references to calling and speaking about calling. And I'd listened to a preach that had been about the whole story of Joseph, and I thought, I wonder if I should start with calling there. And then when that scripture came, I thought, God, this is it. Let's start here. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and this is where we're going to start. Hebrews chapter 6 is one of those really, really challenging chapters. It starts off where the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you're spending a lot of time dealing with the baby issues. You constantly are talking about repentance from dead works and how to get saved and baptisms, and you're talking about the laying on of hands, and you're going over and over and over. Stop doing that. You know, there are a lot bigger things and other things that you need to be dealing with. And I think it's really good to deal with those issues, but we also need to broaden the horizon. He then launches into one of the most controversial sections. And so the first section of that Hebrews chapter 6 speaks about people who have been apostates. In other words, they've turned from God and now wanting to come back again. And many people have taken that to read, no, once you have turned from God, you can never come back again. In other words, you can never repent of your sin. It also, many people have taken it to mean, well, if you lose your, you can actually lose your salvation. Okay. And today I'm not going to be spending time about whether you are once saved, always saved, and whether you can lose your salvation. This is an area I've wrestled with for many, many years, and feel that if you're asking me, and to make a call on this thing, I believe that you're saved, you're saved. Dudley Daniel always used to, when the guys asked him and said, Daniel, Dudley, what about this thing about once saved, always saved? And he said, look, I don't know what you believe, but I'm going to heaven, I'm saved. My deal's done, but I don't know about you, you know. And I want to say the same. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've been adopted. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, we're done with. Verse 9, he then picks up on a very interesting. So he says, look, this whole thing, let's unpack it a little bit. And we're going to jump down to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. You say, but I thought it was just salvation and nothing else. I thought it was the cross and nothing else. Now all of a sudden you say, no, no, there's actually something that goes with salvation. Well, what does this mean? So things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So, let me unpack that quickly in a few minutes. In terms of this thing, it speaks about our hope. In other words, that we have a hope. And our hope in God is in two parts. It's one hope, but can I separate it into two parts? And the reason I do that is there is one part of our hope that is beyond death, and that is, there is one part of our hope that is prior to death. The part of hope that is beyond death is that we will be like Christ, where he died and rose again. In the same way, we believe that we have died, and there is a time when we will rise again in him. Okay, so in terms of death, we believe that the moment you die, you are present with the Lord. The moment. Boom. Close the eyes. I'm in his presence. Okay. It's instant. But you are not there in your body. Your body will be buried. So when I am buried, I trust nobody looks at it and goes, he's dead. Because I will not be dead. I hope that we're at my funeral, you are all going to be going, finally, he is alive. He's more alive than he's ever been before. Because I will be. I will be more alive on that day than I've ever been before. The body will be waiting. That body is buried. And the Bible says that in the end time, when the trumpet goes and Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first. So before you shoot up to heaven, if you're still alive, the body will come out of the grave. You say, how on earth is that going to happen? Me know not. I have no idea. But it says the body will come out of the grave, and you will have a new restored body in heaven. That's the body you're going to live with. How cool is that? That is our hope. That is our hope. But there is a second part to that hope, and that hope is the promise of God that he has for now. So let's take a scripture, for example. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things. What is he talking about? He's saying all the things that God has that he wants to add to your life, all of these things will be added unto you. Does he mean that he's going to add all of these things unto you on the other side? In other words, when you get to heaven? No, you will have no need of these things when you get to heaven. Those things he's going to be adding, he's adding now. That is part of the promise of God that he has for you now. Our hope is not just a hope other side of death. There is a hope this side of death. It's called our inheritance. Now, inheritance is something that I did not work for. In other words, I did not try. I did not have to work for it. You know what? My dad is at some point going to fall over, and he's going to be in the presence of the Lord. And the mom's going to fall over, and she's going to be in the presence of the Lord. And should they go before me, I don't know. I don't think there's anything. But let's assume there's $100. There's $100 of inheritance. I inherit that. Me. So cool. I'll take you all out for Macca's on the $100. I did nothing for it. I didn't help my dad. I didn't work with him. In fact, sadly, I don't even think I've encouraged him. I've done nothing. I just get it in my bank account. But you know what? There is a responsibility on me to be faithful with that. Now, I can take that $100 and I can just spend it. And we all go for Macca's, say high five, had a great time, let's all go home. Or I can take that $100 and I invest it for the sake of the kingdom. And it starts to multiply and multiply and multiply, and God's name is glorified, and we see an eternal investment in it. In exactly the same way, God has an inheritance for you. And that inheritance is not only an inheritance once you die, it is an inheritance this side of heaven that he wants you to walk in. and we're going to spend time in the weeks to come exploring what that inheritance is. And your calling is linked to that inheritance. In other words, is that God calls you. He calls you by name and he says, Christy, I have an inheritance for you and I have a gifting on your life and I want you to come and I want you to live in the fullness of that for the glory of the King. I want you to live in the call of God because the call of God is eternal. It will go up and right through death and into eternity, the Bible says. On top of that calling lies your gifting. And your gifting will help you to fulfill the calling so that you have the inheritance God has for you now. You say, oh, Mark, what? How much money are we talking about? No. This is not about money. This is about the inheritance God has for you now. And on top of that lies the calling of God. Barry and Liz, living in the inheritance of God right now, fulfilling the gifting of God that is on their lives. You know what? Barry and Liz practiced that all the time. Practiced. From the time we got here, Sharon and I arrived in the January on the 3rd of February. Remember the date? It's her birthday. 3rd of February, Sharon was sitting here. She said, we're in a new country. We know nobody. What on earth? Like, this is my birthday. I went into the room and I picked up my mobile and I said, hello, Barry, my name is Mark. You guys just loved us from the minute we walked in. It's my wife's birthday. Can we come around to your house? And he said, we're waiting for you at the front door. Sharon and I got in the car. By the time we got there, Liz had shot out to the shop. It was a Sunday. She bought a mud cake at the IGA. That's all she could get. She came back. She put candles in it. And she said, yeah, you are my friend. And we started to sing and celebrate. Happy birthday. That's Mary and Liz. They were practicing and practicing and practicing. And then God brings them into their inheritance. And you know what? Barry and Liz might not live in Thailand forever, but I want to tell you they're going to get to heaven and they're going to meet some little Thai person and they're going to say, I'm saved because of you. Barry's going to say, I don't know who you are. I've never met you. Yeah, but you ministered to so-and-so who ministered to so-and-so who ministered to so-and-so and because of that I got saved. Hello, my name is so-and-so. Inheritance there, inheritance here. The calling and the gifting of God. But the start is not there. The start is knowing the caller. Because unless we know the caller, in other words, unless we know his voice and we're able to discern his voice and hear his voice, we're never going to understand the calling. And sadly, many, many, many within the church fail to live in their calling because they never spend time listening to the caller. The end is knowing our primary and our secondary call. Our primary call is for the King. Our secondary call is what our inheritance is here that he's asked us to fulfill. The start is knowing the caller. The end is knowing the primary and the secondary call. And that's the journey we're going to go on in the weeks to come. Let me close with a story. Most of you have heard me speak about William Wilberforce. William, and most of you have watched the movie about William Wilberforce? Just an absolutely incredible. Can I encourage you? Please watch William Wilberforce. Just an amazing, amazing story. Here's this man who's saved and He prays and prays and prays and prays and prays. And God says, I want two things of you. Two things. And this is what he writes. God Almighty, this is what he writes in his diary. God Almighty has set before me two great objects. The suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners. The reformation of manners in modern terms is habits, attitudes, and morals. And those are the two things. He said, this is my life. I'm called to suppress the slave trade, and I'm called for the reformation of manners. Those are my two things. That's what I'm here for. So they then come to him and they say, William, you know what you need to do? You need to become a politician. And he goes, okay, can I do those two things if I'm a politician? They go, yes, you can. Cool, then I'll become a politician. You see, it's not about becoming a politician. It's about my two things. That's my inheritance. I want to live in those two things. And William Wilberforce goes on and overrides slavery that nobody could have ever dreamt was going to be possible. Everyone said it will be the economic collapse of the world if the slave trade is ended. William Wilberforce fights and fights and fights to the end until the rule is overturned and slavery is abolished. I want to ask you today, what are your two things? If God had to say to you now, I want you to say, these are my two things. Not this is my job. You see, if you had asked William Wilberforce, what's your job? He would have said it's irrelevant. Today I'm a politician, tomorrow I'm a businessman. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm a songwriter. His best mate was a songwriter. I don't care. These are the two things I'm called for. These are the two things I'm called for. If I had to ask you today, what is your life scripture? What is that one scripture that you feel helps you to define the calling of God and your inheritance? What would it be? And I trust that in the weeks to come, we're going to unfold and help to understand what that calling is. Our primary calling to Him and our secondary calling that He calls us to live in, the inheritance. And this Hebrews chapter 6 doesn't speak about anything else but saying there is an inheritance, this hope. Are you saved? Absolutely. Is this part of your salvation? No, as a result of your salvation, you walk this out. As a result, this thing accompanies it. In other words, I am saved, but this part here is meant to go with it. This is what we're meant to do. Don't just be saved. Live in that which is your inheritance that you're meant to have. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we want to thank you for this call on our lives, this incredible call that the caller makes, that you call us by name, our primary calling. You call us by name and you write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're saved. And eternity with you is part of that inheritance. We're so grateful. Truly, Lord, we are so grateful for the caller. Lord, forgive us that sometimes we stop at that point, that we stop at that point and we don't push further, is to say, help us, Lord, to understand what our calling is on earth. What is it that you've called us to? What are the two things, or the one scripture? What is it that you have for us? Help us to understand our inheritance now, and help us to walk in our calling, we ask. Lord, we pray for your wisdom in the weeks to come, as we start to explore and understand how our gifting plays a part in this, and how that you have for us now heaps more than we've even walked in to this point. We thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.